Welcome to the Reinventing Education Podcast. Today we're discussing beliefs on the development of the self. So discussing personal wants, interests, and skills within schools. So I'm going to look at, you know, these ideas around duty. What do you just have to do in school? How do you discover your strengths, weaknesses, and interests in school? And how can you pursue meaning across the three types of school, but with an emphasis today on the counselor approach? If what I just said sounds like a word salad with that expert coach and counselor model, go back to our 100th episode, episode 100, for a breakdown of what we mean by these three terms. But if you're up for a discussion that's not just a lofty philosophical talk about concepts of development of the self, we're going to talk very practical. What does this look like in a school and in a classroom between a student and a teacher who have that counselor-counseled relationship? I'm Rob McLeod, joined, as always, by Brendan O'Leary. How are you, Brendan?
Hey, Rob. Not too bad. Not too bad at all. So this is, I guess, the third of a little mini-series where we're looking at the counselor-centered school approach to what we've defined as the three main purposes of school. There's many more, but these are three of the main ones that often pop up, such as building citizens, which is something we looked at a little while ago, or preparing somebody for the marketplace or employment, which we looked at in the last episode. And now we come to the third of the big three purposes for school, which is the development of the self. And as you alluded to, there's a very different interpretation of that, whether we look at the expert-centered, the coach-centered, or the counselor-centered approach. So we dig way back into our episodes on the expert-centered approach. What we said in terms of development of the self inside those schools is about you doing your duty without needing to be asked. So if you're developing yourself, then we know that you could operate within our community, within our school, without needing to be reminded of the rules all the time or what makes a good person. And you can fulfill your role. And we might not spend much time on self-development beyond that. There's another version of it within the expert-centered school, which we call self-improvement, which might be a devotion to a certain belief or a set of beliefs. And all of that might come under a conversation on self-development, self-improvement in an expert-centered school. If we go into the coach-centered approach, what might we find there, Robert?
Yeah, so there's this shift from the expert, which is kind of top down, which is saying, you know, we are the experts, we can bring you up to our level. When we shift over to the coach, then school becomes a place much more about the individual. And it's where you go to learn about your strengths, your weaknesses, your interests, and find what you want to pursue in the wild world. And you're going to be supported toward opportunities within that framework. So again, there is this emphasis on the individual, but it's the emphasis on the individual within the framework or within the curriculum, within the structure of school. Once you start to go outside of the curriculum, there's not so much time or space, or there's some resistance to that. In the coach approach, students receive very measured and objective feedback about their personal abilities. And again, little asterisks in reference to the curriculum and specific curricular goals. We can have individual goals for sure, yet again, asterisks within the system's needs and within the school's sort of general framework, but those individual goals can be set, whether that be, you know, a career path that you wish to achieve, so we can help you line up the courses to do that, or a specific level of achievement. Hey, you want an A in this class, here are the things that you'll need to do. Now, the bigger system, or kind of the world around the school, like, might actually move you away from your hopes and dreams if you're not in alignment with the school system or the larger economy or the government's initiatives at that time. So it's all done on school term. And we've used this example before, but my tool and die example from the end of high school. At the time I was graduating, Ontario, looking for more tool and die apprentices because there was a dramatic need for them at the time. And I think every single human being that graduated in Ontario between like 98 and 2001 had their guidance counselor push the idea of, hey, have you considered tool and die? So again, great career option. But regardless of what I wanted to do as a music engineer, it was, hey, well, let's just check out a tool and die path for you here. That's a pretty good route. So there's the expert, there's the coach. Now moving on to the counselor.
I was just going to throw in my two cents on that. The coach-centered approach to your own development. I was a swimmer and I swam every day. I was a competitive swimmer. And I was also really into drawing cartoons. So I would say outside of the school, that was literally all I did. Like all day, every day, I was either swimming or drawing cartoons. The school had no interest in my swim successes whatsoever. Didn't support me in any particular way. It didn't stop me. Of course, it was all done outside of school, but there was no move towards like, hey, you know what? You might be really good at this. Maybe we want to find a way to incorporate this into your learning in some way. Oh, no, no, no. I'm out there on the field playing cricket and rugby for, you know, all of my sports lessons. Great sports, but not the ones I excelled in. And cartooning, I was actively discouraged in my art classes drawing cartoons to do something more technical. And so my two great passions in life were at odds with my education. And it wasn't seen as something... that wasn't seen as unusual by me or my family. It wasn't like we were enraged that my passions weren't being matched in school. It was like, well, it's not what you do at school, so you need to find somewhere else to do those things. And I guess that brings us into the counselor-centered approach, in which there would at least be acknowledgement of those passions and those skills and those that wider the aspirations or interests, that there would be a place to find those. Within the school, there would be a place to develop those. So we're looking at development of the self, and it becomes much more about what is actually intrinsically motivating for you. It's about what's driving your interests, your needs. And as we said last week, that doesn't mean it has to be selfish. It still has to connect with the community around you, but it is saying that at the core of it, your personal interests, your personal skills are central to this. And this is a place, this counselor-centered school is a place where you learn about and explore and develop your strengths, look at your weaknesses, look at your interests, and you're constantly developing in a negotiation with your teacher, who's in this counselor-centered approach, and your school community, but you're not triangulated into a specific curriculum. You're not bound by a specific set of objectives that were written many years ago in a totally different place. You're receiving personalized ongoing feedback from yourself, from your peers, from your teachers, from the whole community. And so that means that pathway towards self-development is radically different for every person. And within that, you know, the idea that we want it to be a healthy development. So, you know, unlike some of the criticism of the coach-centered approach, we're trying to avoid things like burnout. We're trying to balance this for physical, mental, and other types of health.
Yeah, there's a sense of well-being at the core. And I think the only word I didn't hear there was the idea of meaning. And, you know, the kind of straw man version of this is to say, oh, well, you just do whatever's on your whim and just whatever's pleasurable. And, you know, this creates problems. No, no, no. This is what's meaningful to you. And meaning can demand incredible rigor. Meaning can demand incredible work from someone. This isn't just chill, relaxed. Meaning is at the core of it, both on the individual and community level. And that idea that you are a self, you are a person that needs to develop your ability to pursue meaning is at the core of this. And not our meaning, not tradition's meaning, your personal life path meaning, because hey, when you leave school, that to a large degree is true that that is what you're up to. You're going to have to create your own path and your own meaningful life. Or I guess that's the idea. The meaningful life is the beneficial one, or the one worth achieving.
Yeah, and you're adding that level of metacognition that it's not just about you deciding what you're good at and pursuing that, but you're also building your ability to do that, your ability to evaluate what's important and to set goals that will take you in that direction. Yeah, absolutely. It's not the easiest path. It's not the path of least resistance. It's the path that helps you to meet your own needs, your own desires, your own the pursuit of what is important to your meaning. And so, yeah, and that's often Really difficult path, but it's the one that we are driven towards. And
Yeah, it almost sounds like there might be ups and downs to this, though, right?
yeah, ups for sure. But what could some of those ups be, you ask? Well, one of them, Robert, is that for the first time in school, you have the ability to travel in any direction. The path is not predefined. It can be very scary, of course, to look at that from the outside. But from the inside, we're looking that you're building that path along the way. You do have goals. You do have directions you're going in. There's no authority other than you and the people that you're working with who are guiding you and helping you and supporting you. But at the end of the day, you are making those decisions. Which means that it's about your own holistic growth. It's about that, hopefully, health as well, which is where that metacognition comes in, to know when you're not actually pursuing your own goals in a healthy way. And this is a freedom to grow in the direction that is most meaningful for you. Sometimes this is referred to as self-actualization in Maslow's hierarchy. A great book by Carl Rogers, The Person-Centered Counselor. It's called Freedom to Learn, which is one of the first times I came across this idea of having agreements or negotiations with students about what they would do over a certain amount of time. And there's still accountability. If you say, I'm going to do this, you may change your plan, but you don't goof off and do nothing. You still have to come in and have a discussion about, okay, you said you were going to do this. This is your aim. This is your goal. How are you doing with that? Actually, we're going through a version at our school now. We have a thing called the exhibition, which is a self-directed unit. I'd love to see more of it, but while we do it, it's awesome. The kids are with some direction, are setting a lot of their own goals in their own direction. And as a mentor or as a counselor style teacher, you're sitting with them saying, well, the goals you set, were they good goals? Did you meet them? Did you hit any issues along the way? Where are you going to go next? And if they know, and sometimes they do, great. And if they don't, then that's where the discussion starts. Well, the goals that we spoke about last time, were they successful? Were they heading in the right direction? Were they meaningful for you? And are they a good hint of where to go next? And so this is the first time in school that that has been a priority.
So if we take the shift over now to what are the bathwaters, what are some of the drawbacks? We can look back to a coach or an expert mindset and see where the shoulders start to raise on a few of these things. So if we first start with the coach approach, that idea of no, we need a curriculum to triangulate everything through, and it's all about success and achievement in relationship to these learning goals. First question is like, how do we assure standards and quality? So we've got everyone on their own path, which sounds great, but how do we know how well we are doing at helping everyone on their own path if there's no objective or at least common point to measure against? How do we know that we're doing personal inquiries well? How do we know that, that we're not creating some kind of inequity or disadvantage within things by unintentionally perhaps supporting some students far more than we are with other students? So there is this idea of like, well, this all sounds good, but how are we going to measure to ensure quality that we're helping people pursue meaning in to the highest degree possible? There's also the risk that you're putting your own needs over that of everyone else. So there should be always a tie back to community. And I think this criticism can only come in when the pursuit of individual inquiry paths or learning paths doesn't include the community. But, tool and die example, hey, well, now we just don't have enough tool and die people, and we've got a collapse of an industry now. Like there are real world repercussions to what people are pursuing after they step out of school. And, the easiest version of this to kind of poke holes in is the idea of like wandering rudderlessly, like this idea of like, well, I'm doing this now. Oh, and but now I abandon that. Now this is more meaningful. Oh, I abandon that. Oh, now this is more meaningful. But I think that only arises when you have an unhealthy version of the counselor-counseled relationship, because the counselor should be stepping in to point out those blind spots. And I think that's what makes an effective counselor, is to hear everything a student is saying and then to say, ah, think I've got it. Let me check that I've understood. Cool. I noticed that this wasn't mentioned, and then inquire into that. If that's not happening, you run the risk of this sort of never-ending series of starts and stops, and perhaps even failed at your own goal of helping students tune into what is very meaningful to them.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you just go back to the idea of measurement, and this is where we talked about a while ago with Illich, and yeah, absolutely. It's, if everyone's doing their own path, it does become difficult to measure objectively. But then you start to ask, well, why are we measuring objectively? Why aren't we seeing how much what we're doing is meeting our needs and our purpose rather than some abstract measurements? So there's, you know, and but it's a valid argument if we are still, if we are looking towards credentials or we are looking to find some rule of thumb to measure. Yeah. And yeah, wandering rudderlessly, wandering aimlessly, it's certainly, if it's unhealthy, can lead to that. But then arguably with our current system, many people leave university, college, school, and wander rudderlessly because the path they ended up on wasn't the right one for them. So again, if done badly, yes, but if done with that metacognitive awareness of being able to self-regulate and make these decisions, it doesn't mean the path's easy, but at least it should avoid some of those downfalls, those pitfalls. Now, the other one is, which is something that we also came across when we were talking about the workplace and leading towards employment, was the things you're learning in this school, your passions just may not transfer into your experiences after school, especially if we're not getting that broad and balanced curriculum that is promised in the coach-centered approach. There's a criticism of the coach-centered curriculum that it's a mile wide and an inch deep, which is, you know, it covers lots and lots and lots of things. But if done well, you do get a large general knowledge of things. The criticism of the counselor-centered approach is that you're so focused on your own development or that very small set of needs for your school community, you're not actually getting the skills that you will need to survive in life. And also, you may not get those credentials. So you're really in trouble if you leave that place without being able to operate as a citizen, as someone who can find employment. And so therefore, in that variation of, well, you can't just do what you want, the fear is that we have to put all of these extra things in place to prepare you for the world. And this type of school is removing all of these things. So there's a real fear that if done badly, we're removing all of the scaffolds and all of the support, and you're just going to end up in a world that you can't function in. There are things you need to do, even if you're not interested in them. And we need to expose you to these things. And there's some, you know, there's a lot of fear around this when we get into these counselor-centered approaches that, well, what are you going to miss out on all these things? You can't just do what you want. You need to know all of these things. And I will concede there's some truth in that, but I do think as well, if a counselor-centered approach that teaches you those critical thinking skills, that metacognitive, and does acknowledge that the real world has needs, they are preparing you for it in a way that meets your own needs and doesn't fit you into the kind of pathways that are predetermined, such as you might find in both the expert and the coach-centered approaches.
Oh, Brennan, you managed to turn a bathwater into a baby. You saved the day. I can see there's hints of the counselor approach in your heart.
Well, Robert, I have to say, after 199 episodes, whatever we've done, I have to finally admit that this is the one that resonates with me most. I do genuinely see the benefit in, if we just stick within development of the self, I do see the benefit of knowing how your system works, knowing how your school works, and being able to be a good member of that school. I get that. I do also get that having a solid curriculum with some solid paths can really give you some skills. But I can't deny in my heart of hearts, I want to be in a place that lets me develop the things that are meaningful to me. And if we can do it in such a way where I develop, I grow, I also help the people around me and the community I'm in, and I also acknowledge that I live in a real world where I can't just do what I want all the time, that's the approach that I would like to see.
Brennan, go grab your crayons and some paper, hit the pool, call back.
Call back.
All right. Thanks, Brennan.
You did it. Thanks, Rob. No.